10% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name. He doesn't need his name up in lights, he just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat or the mic, he feels so unlike everybody.
Can you smell what the zone is cooking? It's time for the
Jim's Razorback Pizza Report. You'll just have to take my word for it. I have no idea why I stopped that. I'm all out of sorts. Hopefully Arkansas won't be this weekend. Can I just get the fight song? That'd make me feel better. Sorry. I'm not quite on my game today. Wally, I'm blaming you.
Well, I thought it was a good first hour.
My bad. Anyway, here's an alarming number. We talked about a few numbers earlier. Really any of them good.
None of them positive.
So I'm not, you know what? Not even going to talk about it. Here is an alarming number, though. Saw this in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette today. Your man Tom Murphy pointing this out. I guess I didn't realize how bad it had been. Arkansas, you know how at the end of the game, people will hold up four fingers for the fourth quarter?
Yes.
Arkansas needs to hold up a fist in honor of zero. Arkansas has scored exactly, not around, not roughly, not ballparking, not close to, exactly 0 points in the fourth quarter of the last four games.
What?
Exactly 0 points.
After spending three games saying we own the fourth quarter.
Really?
You could buy the fourth quarter, but you can't score in the fourth quarter. You may own it, but you're not performing very well in it.
That's a stat that, I guess when you think about it, it's obviously true.
Christina, I bet you couldn't find five teams in America that have not scored a single point in the fourth quarter in the last four games.
Professional,
don't you think?
Or college,
or high school, or anything
or
else.
High school.
That's an amazing stat. I mean, it really. That's wow. Incredible.
I'm still.
Does that mean that they give up?
No, that means they're not finishing very well.
No, but is that what it means though? Like, is that you know what when you you know let's say I finish the round.
To spill this coffee.
You have tried to spill that coffee four times. No more coffee for you. No more Starbucks for you. Justin, you're out on the Starbucks anyway.
Oh,
but do you not think like if I finished every one of my rounds? Bogeyed the last six holes. Don't you feel like it would be like I was giving up the whole time? Like these guys are, it feels like they're giving up now that you've said that stat.
Why does it feel like they're giving up? I don't think that they haven't performed or played hard down the stretch. Last week, however,
0 points in four games.
That doesn't mean they're not playing hard. It just means they're not executing very well.
They're playing better teams. They're playing teams that are better than them. They've gotten to the meat of their schedule. And this is what everyone should have expected this year. When you're starting two true freshmen in the offensive line, I'm sorry, it's a rebuilding year.
What did you have them in the beginning of the year?
7-5, and I said with some luck.
I thought 6-6 was doable, and I still think, you know.
Do you think they're going to win another game
this
year?
But going back to the Rutgers game, 6-6 is still doable. If they had four wins right now, everybody would still be holding out hope that they'd be going to a bowl game. One win makes all the difference in the world. Now, again, coming off a 52-7 loss doesn't exactly make you feel good. But look, the Mississippi State game is going to be winnable. I don't think it's likely. I'm not saying it's an absolute, but it's a possibility. The Auburn game doesn't look likely, but it's a possibility. You're at home. The Ole Miss game doesn't look likely, but it's a possibility. It's still a possibility. But
they
to have
may
to
not win,
win
another game this year.
That's absolutely a possibility. There's no question. You're right. The thing is, if you only had to win two out of those three games that appear to be on paper semi-winnable if you play really, really well and get some breaks, then that's fine. But to have to win all of them, the likelihood is so low. And again, now we have to get into that thought process. What is successful the second half of the season for Arkansas? What is a success at the end of the year? Because it ain't going to be a bowl game, which generally is your basically your low bar for it. So what's next? What's next for them? What shows that they had as good as they could do?
I don't know. I was last week just an anomaly? I mean, how does a team regress that much? And there's no explanation.
Yeah.
It was terribly sad and pathetic. Like, I had a conference call at halftime, and I never even turned the TV back on.
Connor Shaw never looked off the primary receiver, not one time, and only once did Arkansas almost have an interception.
Here's what I will say. I got sold on them last week. They were probably – I thought they were the most overrated team in the league. They're not overrated. They're rated right where they need to be.
They're good.
They're probably going to win the East. They ought to. With Missouri's quarterback going down, they should be one – you know, they should be the favorite. It's them in Florida, I guess, basically it comes down to now if Georgia stays unhealthy. We'll know more about Georgia this week. They got a big game. But
– If Arkansas plays like they did last week, this week
– Yeah. But who cares?
It's 63-0.
But it doesn't matter, Wally, because if you're going to lose the game handily, if it's 49-7 or it's 62-0, I don't know how much difference it makes.
I think last week people thought that they may have had a slight chance against South Carolina.
Absolutely.
This week is 100% a write-off. 100% a write-off. I don't know, besides the people who live in, like, La La Land, who are give the Hogs any chance this week. Last week, there was a lot of people, including sports writers and, you know, sports talk radio hosts.
I predicted a win.
That give them a shot.
I thought about it. Here's the thing. I felt like they had a decent shot. Two things about it. First of all, it was a perfect storm, and they did regress for the first time all year. Because even in the Florida game, you saw some improvement in certain areas.
The Florida game was actually a pretty good game.
Did not see improvement this last week. But it was a perfect storm. When things come off with this team, and you're driving around on your axles, things are going to look really, really bad. They had no wheels left on the truck at the end of the game. Secondly, speaking to Todd Ellis last week, that's what sold me on South Carolina, and that's what cemented my pick of the Gamecocks last weekend. You know what he said to me? Since I've been doing their games, and again, he's a former South Carolina quarterback, he's an attorney, he's a very analytical guy, this is the best offense I have seen from South Carolina. This is the best offense I've seen from South Carolina, he says. They had the leading rusher in the league coming in. They had a quarterback who'd thrown for 1,000 yards and zero interceptions. Mm. They have a very, very athletic receiver in Ellington who's also going to haunt a bunch of teams on the basketball court. They're good. And when they're playing well defensively, they're hard to beat, and they're probably going to win the East.
What's their schedule like for the rest of the year?
Well, they got to play Florida still. I mean, they're going to be – they are
I thought
getting,
they were better than Florida.
I think they are better than Florida. Yeah.
But.
Hey, this may be the most – first off, I don't think Alabama's going undefeated.
And LSU?
It's going to have to be.
I think LSU's going to beat them. And the SEC will not get a team in the SEC – I mean, in the BCS championship.
Who's it going to be? Oregon?
I think Oregon's going to go undefeated. I think Ohio State's going to go undefeated. I think Clemson may go undefeated.
If they win this weekend, they will be in the driver's seat.
And, you know, Baylor's got a chance to go undefeated because they are undefeated right now.
And they're in a bad league.
And they're in a bad league.
All of that's valid. I can't argue with any of that. As far as South Carolina, I think watching the East play out is going to be interesting. It'll be very interesting to watch the East play out the rest of the way. South Carolina has at Tennessee this week, at Missouri the next week. And again, James Franklin ain't walking through that door.
It's over for Missouri.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
They may be, you know what? They may beat somebody because they are better as a team than I thought they would be, especially defensively. It's not just the quarterback. They are much better all the way around this year than they were last year.
Absolutely.
Having Franklin makes it a lot easier, without a doubt. It certainly put a lot of pressure on the other team's defense.
Don't they have a good running back, too, though?
I don't know. I don't know enough about them. I haven't had to pay any attention to them.
Well, they're not on Arkansas' schedule.
You're right. Exactly. That's my point. South Carolina has at Tennessee, at Missouri. They'll be favored in both those. They have Mississippi State at home for homecoming. They get Florida at home off a bye week. South Carolina then has Coastal Carolina, and they play Clemson at the end of the year. They ain't going to a national championship game. They're probably not going to a BCS game because I don't think they're beating Clemson. But the bottom line is, A, they'll have a chance, and B, they probably aren't losing another SEC game.
If they beat Florida, they might have enough confidence going to that Clemson game to make it a good game.
They could. Oh, no, they absolutely. I mean, Georgia has shown some weaknesses. Clemson is a home underdog this weekend to Florida State.
To Florida State?
Yes, Florida State's fifth in the country. Clemson's third. And Clemson, again, showed some cracks in the armor last week. Still a really good team. Experienced quarterback. It'll be a live atmosphere. We saw it in the Georgia game earlier this year. But that South Carolina team, you are in great shape. You can't ask for anything more than what
now,
you got.
Now, there's a bet. Go to Vegas on that one. I like that. Three points at home. I like that. I like that line.
Yeah, South Carolina, as good as they are offensively, and their defense is getting better. The other thing is we talk about anomalies, Wally, and I'm not sure if last week was an anomaly for Arkansas, if they're that bad or that's really what they look like against good teams, teams that are complete.
Right.
That was the first complete team they played all year. Because A&M is really good offensively, but not very good defensively. And I can't imagine this week will be much different. But look at LSU, for example. LSU looked like they couldn't stop anybody. And then last week they played great defense against – and I understand Georgia's offense when they're healthy is a lot better than Florida's offense when they're healthy. But that was still pretty impressive locking it down.
Oh, I thought LSU really grew up last week. And their offense, it's the best offense I've seen them have in a long time. And if this defense can play back to that, they're not losing.
Yeah, the good news is Arkansas doesn't have to play them at the end of the year when they're all grown up and they've had a whole season. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
So they South Carolina's 5-1. I mean, they could easily run the table for sure in the SEC, if not the whole way. So Now, if they beat Clemson, that could be a game to put them in a BCS.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that very last game. If they beat Florida, then they might.
And if Clemson loses to Florida State and maybe they slip up somewhere else and they've got a couple of losses and the BCS is out of the mix for them, that's definitely a game. And it's at home for South Carolina.
They don't have to beat Clemson to get to BCS. If they get to the SEC championship and win, they're going Sugar Bowl. So they could be a two-loss team.
I can't argue with logic like that. You're too smart. Let me take a couple basketball notes here, unless you have anything else you want to talk about football related.
Mm-mm.
Okay. The media, including your man, Tom Murphy, has picked Kentucky. Shocker.
Bob Holt.
To win the SEC this year.
Bob Holt does basketball.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob Holt. I'm sure Murphy would have picked Kentucky to win the SEC too, though, yes?
Wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. Kentucky, a vast runaway favorite to win the SEC. 21 first-place votes. Florida, 5. Tennessee, 3rd with 1 first-place vote. When's Bruce Pearl getting back in the mix?
I don't know.
He's not gonna be coaching this year, I assume. I don't know. LSU, Missouri, Alabama. Ole Miss, Arkansas at 8. A&M, Vanderbilt, Georgia, South Carolina, Mississippi State, and Auburn. Auburn is going to be lucky, Wally, lucky to finish 14th this year. I realize there's only 14 teams.
You know, this is how bad the league has slipped. Normally by this time, I'd be up on every team.
Mm-hmm.
I've barely even looked at Arkansas so far. Of course, I'm trying to figure out that loss last week.
Well, here's the thing. You look at the first team All-SEC, second team All-SEC.
Let me guess. None.
First team is Trevor Relaford, who is a senior finally. How long has he been there? 13,
he's
14
got,
years?
He's got tenure.
Gracious. Julius Randle. There are going to be a bunch of kids from Kentucky I'm going to name that nobody's ever heard of. A freshman out of Dallas, Texas. I'm sure he's great. I'm sure he was like the top 5 player in the country.
Wait. They named him first team SEC and they hadn't played a game?
We've had that happen before. It happened last year.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And there's a college kid right now who's getting paid $180 million, and he hasn't played a game himself. So
that's true.
Being named,
he can't take the money till he
clearly. But they say he's worth anywhere between $140 and $180 million if he can just stay healthy for one year,
season, yeah, which is dumb. Well,
not even a year, a season.
I take the $180 million and get a lawyer and challenge that I can't go ahead and go to the NBA.
You know what? He should do. He should say he has bone spurs. Or bad ribs, whatever works. Unfortunately, Clowney did play
Clowney
last week.
Clowney does, I was about to say.
But he played last week, unfortunately, for Arkansas. Christina is talking about Andrew Wiggins.
Canadian homeboy, what's up?
Adidas prepared to offer Wiggins a shoe contract worth between $140 and $180 million as soon as he's released from the clutches of the NCAA rulebook.
And Nike says they'll match it.
I also heard Nike's going to match anything, says the report. Yes.
Makes you wonder what Kansas gave him.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, no kidding. 10 years. Not him, his mom. Come on.
Anyway, good luck. Hope you have a great season. Here's your first team. Relaford, Randle, Johnny O'Brien III from LSU, who's actually a junior, and the guy we've talked about before. Marshall Henderson from Ole Miss makes first team.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Jordan McRae from Tennessee. Nice solid guard, 6'6", out of Georgia. Good player.
Wouldn't you like to see Marshall and Manziel together in a room?
I think Johnny Manziel is 1,000 times better. A 1,000 times better kid than Henderson.
My opinion, they're both manic as hell.
I think Johnny likes to party. Johnny has...
Have you seen Marshall's record?
I'm going to get to him. Johnny has sucked. He has sucked as much out of his fame as he can, which is exactly what I would do in his shoes. Marshall Henderson is just an idiot. Marshall Henderson's a moron. Marshall Henderson is not a winner in life. Johnny Manziel, I think, will find a way. He may not always do it on the up and up, but he'll find a way to win in life. I'm not sure that Marshall Henderson's a winner.
I'm not sure Marshall doesn't need to be on medication for ADHD.
I think that's the least of his problems, but it certainly is one of them. Yes, the kid's got a lot of issues. I do not like him, don't like his act, don't like his whole deal.
I don't either.
Can't stand him. He's like, and you know, I actually had this discussion with Joe Klein last year, and Joe didn't go at him from a personality standpoint like I did, but Joe, I said, you know, he's a great player, but, and he goes, well, let's start right there. He's not a great player. He's a volume shooter. That's the thing. He'll get a lot of headlines because he'll score a bunch of points and make a bunch of threes, but he'll shoot a pile to get there.
That's right.
I'm just not a fan, but that's fine. And Kennedy's at a point where it's his career.
No. He made the tournament last year. I think they gave him a new contract. I like Andy. I think Andy's got the same problem that Pelfrey had. 5 days a week, he wants to be buddy-buddy, and then they go in the games. He wants to be the head coach.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marshall Henderson, I don't know that there's any coach that could keep him in line.
No.
Most Nick Saban. Most coaches would have walked him by now is my point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's not a terrible person or anything, but I just – that whole act, I can't get with it. It's annoying. So Florida has a couple kids on second team. Kentucky has three others: Cauley Stein, Andrew Harrison, Dakari Johnson. Yes, two of those are freshmen on the second team All-SEC. So continue to hold your nose, Wally, until I get through this. It's getting worse, not better. Maimon from Tennessee and Jarnell Stokes, who was this close to coming to Arkansas, makes second team as well. Julius Randle, it gets better. Julius Randle, the freshman at Kentucky, named the preseason SEC Player of the Year.
Wow.
A kid who has never once dribbled in the SEC.
You know
this
what
is our world.
Mean? You're right. There must have been a very low turnout of media voting in this.
So they had to make something up.
There's six people from Kentucky and there's four from Arkansas, and that's it.
Well, if there's a media group that's crazy about basketball, it's definitely Kentucky, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there's obviously a couple guys from Florida, too. Anyway, it's that's crazy. But it's not the first time it's happened. I think Anthony Davis was the preseason player of the year, maybe. Which, it was fine because he lived up to the billing. But
yeah, he did.
Gentlemen.
Yes, sir. I always try to find a way to make Razorback football fun, no matter what I have to do. So what I have to do. So this week, I'm going to think that it's going to be like last year was, whenever we got embarrassed by Mississippi State, and then just seven short days later, or maybe 6 days later, we played LSU and played them to a real close game. So just for the fun of it, and I know I'm in La La Land, but I'm just going to, for the fun of it, I'm just going to pretend that that's what the Hogs are going to do.
How much do you think they're going to lose by, though?
And not being in La La Land?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much point in that.
Okay. It might be. It'd probably be in the 50s. I don't know what Saban could do to keep it from being any worse, but I know he's the one that tries to not roll up the score. But the thing as far as them giving up, what was embarrassing to me Saturday was when they got the last touchdown. They were running it up the center's rear, right up the very middle of the field, and they were getting 10 yards a carry and having to call timeout so they could move the chains, or having to stop the clock to move the chains. That was what was really embarrassing to me, that last stretch there where they made that touchdown. So anyway, that's just – yes, sir?
Hang in there, my man. It's going to be okay.
All right. All right. Yes, sir.
Y'all shall pass.
Have his calls become better since he's become a voice model?
Yes, I think so. He actually is a hand model in his part-time as well, like George Costanza. Kev says they gave up last week, but previous weeks they ran out of gas, talking about the football team.
Why they haven't scored in the last quarter of the last four games?
I think part of that's true. I don't know about giving up last week, but there wasn't a whole lot of motivation. I mean, that game was clearly not going to go your way by the time they rolled in the fourth quarter. We have some breaking news that Christina brought to my attention moments ago.
Oh, yeah.
When you're 0-6, you start looking for options. And the New York Giants have found an interesting one.
Yeah, local Conway boy, Peyton Hillis, apparently is going to the Giants. I don't know how excited he is about that, but...
Well, he better get ready to stay in and block.
Exactly.
Because job one is keep Eli Manning upright.
He can do that, but I'm telling you, he has never been utilized as a receiver like he should have been.
I agree with that.
Incredible hands. I think he probably had more one-handed catches at Arkansas than anybody.
I'd love to have him as a wide receiver right now.
I think they're loving the fact that he's coming too. Anyone would help those guys out right
physical.
Now.
He's physical. The fans are going to love him.
Yeah.
I don't know if the fans are going to love anybody out there right now, but
a
step.
They need something to cheer for.
Baby
and
guys, he can't go anywhere but up. They hadn't won a game. What if they win a game with him?
Exactly. That is true. It could be all Peyton.
Brandon.
Hey, guys. And lady.
Well, I appreciate the shout out. Thank you.
You were asking earlier, what do you want to see out of the team, and I just want to see improvement. I don't want to see no more blowouts. I imagine, we get beat by 20 points. I'm fine with that. That is the same secondary we've had since Bobby Petrino's been there. Mm-hmm. Terrible. Yeah. I think the only thing we can look forward to as Razorbacks is individual improvement now. Like our young guys, like Lake, and hopefully Brandon Allen gets this stuff together. Herndon, I think that's what we have to look for now, because this is the same defense that's been put out there for the last 4 years. Same backfield, different guys, but it's been the same thing coached to them for the last 4 years. And you can't just relearn your system in 1 year. You can't teach somebody new things in 1 year. It takes forever to learn how to play guitar. You learn how to do things growing up. You can't just retrain that. Why do you think Tim Tebow's out of the NFL?
Yeah.
You can't look through them. And I think all we got to look forward to is individual improvement.
Brandon, that's probably a fair point. Appreciate the call.
You cannot teach somebody to be inherently fast. And that's what I've noticed last Saturday. Arkansas's not fast. And looked this up yesterday, 56 players. Arkansas played 56 players last Saturday. 9 were true freshmen, which is almost unheard of in the SEC. Mm-hmm. 9 were redshirt freshmen, and 13 were sophomores. That's 31 of your 56 players were underclassmen. Now, I'm not saying they're young. I'm not making excuses. Those are the facts. The numbers speak for themselves. This team is being rebuilt. You're playing 18 freshmen, either redshirt or true freshmen.
No. I just think that we should have gone into the year kind of, and I know that some people did. They had an expectation of the team maybe winning 4 or 5 games, but most people were coming into this year thinking with just, you know, Bielema just coming here would get you guys to 7 or 8 wins. I just think that that's silly. I think your expectations were so high, and now that we're only at 3 games, and we may not win another game this year, I just feel like, you know, everyone's so let down. But like you said, it is a rebuilding year, and it may take us 2 more years in order to...
Yeah, that's the bigger issue is how much better is it going to get next year? I'm not sure it gets a lot better. Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, when does it get better? That's what I'm... And do you still have the whole state, you know, being this huge Bielema fan, if it takes you another 2 years?
It's not his fault.
I'm not saying that it is, but...
But that's our job, is to point that out.
But when he came in here, people thought he was working miracles because we just got, you know, a new coach. I think that that's the thing, is that they put so much expectations on just a new coach, and it was going to fix everything.
Well, you know, you lived through Houston Nutt, and they had come off a horrible run, you know, before with Ford, and then Houston Nutt inherits that same team. The difference is Ford was bringing players to campus.
Especially offensive linemen.
Yeah, and he wasn't winning much with them, but... And I believe that they will get these guys. I mean, the guys, the key is, can they develop them? Because they do have some guys that physically you would think it's going to be hard not to make these guys players.
Bobby Petrino spoke to the Touchdown Club, Brandon's freshman year, and he said, quote, "This kid is going to be special by the time he leaves Arkansas. You just won't see it the first year he's on the field. He's got a long way to go, but he's got a lot of tools."
Well, he's not healthy. I think we can all work on that assumption.
I agree.
And even healthy, he wasn't great at different periods of time. This year, last year, you know, so.
And they're still starting 2 freshmen in the offensive line.
Yeah.
Hi, Sarge.
Hey, how you doing?
I've been better. I'm depressed.
I understand. Hey, listen, I'm going to surprise you this morning. I'm not going to say anything negative, and I'm going to be brief.
Okay.
So, miracles can happen. First, for the comments that Wally was just making, I happened a few days ago to look in his paper and see the list of commitments and their statistics for the year and the physical statistics and this and that. And it seemed like just about every running back, wide receiver, and cornerback in that list ran 4.5 or better. Now, I understand 4.5s in high school can turn into 4.8s in college, but maybe even though he had limited recruiting time, maybe Coach B was on the nose when it comes to recruiting speed to improve. The other thing, and this is really, I can't understand this. Now, I consider myself to be relatively intelligent, but I just can't understand this. Again, going back to the Democrat Gazette of Sunday, and if you guys have already talked about this, then I apologize for bringing it up again. I missed your show yesterday. But the statistics for that game, and understand, I really dislike statistics. There's lies and then
damn lies.
Blankety blank lies and
stats
first
don't
of all,
lie.
Statistics, right?
Stats don't lie.
Yeah, and anybody can spin statistics to basically say whatever they want to. But in the paper Sunday, the statistics on the running game, forgetting the fact that we only had, you know, 37 offensive plays, in the first half we averaged 9.1 yards per carry rushing the ball. And in the second half we averaged over 15 yards a carry rushing the ball. And I may have been wrong about the 9.1. The overall average for the game was 9.1 yards per carry. That doesn't sound like the game that I was looking at. So my question is, and I'm going to hang up and listen, how do you explain that? And Thanks for your time.
You had an end around for 50 yards. You had
yeah. When you only run 37 plays, they can be skewed immensely by one play.
Right, and then you had a 27-yard run. I think it was 27 by Collins. Both of those end up in fumbles when you lose the ball.
Wally, what's a high-profile opponent you'd like to see Arkansas take on in a home-and-home? Since I didn't prep you for this at all, let me just throw that out at you.
You know, I've always been an advocate of them playing Arkansas State, but that's not a high-profile.
How about a realistic high-profile opponent? I'll tell you, let me just give you what kind of game I'm
Hawaii.
Talking about. It was announced earlier this
home
week.
Home and home? Hawaii?
That'd be fun.
Awesome.
You'd be shocked at how dumpy their stadium is, but the fact that it's so beautiful there and the air is so dewy sweet, you don't even have to lick the stamps, makes up for it. The Cornhuskers and Ducks. Oregon ain't exactly Hawaii, but it ain't bad. Nebraska and Oregon going to play in 16 and 17, a little home and home. So that's a good matchup for both those. That'd be kind of fun.
Well, you know, Arkansas added TCU.
What?
Arkansas is going to play TCU.
True.
Playing Texas Tech.
Right.
I think it's a smart move. Even if you're getting exposure in West Texas, you got to keep that exposure in Texas.
Yes.
So I think
exposure
great...
in West Texas or getting exposed in West Texas.
We'll see. But you know, I think for them, I'd like to see them have a home and home with Houston.
Houston Nut?
Houston, Texas.
Okay.
University of Houston Cougars. And get back into recruiting that area.
I like that. It's good. Because if you can't go back to the Southwest Conference, but you can still recruit the Southwest Conference, right? 11:32, Justin Akery, Christina LeCure. We're going to get a call from Trey Schaap a little bit later, who is at SEC Media Days. So we'll look forward to hearing from Trey. He can fill us in on
He voted for.
Who is this kid in Kentucky that's so awesome that I don't know anything about? Matty T will weigh in on something or other before the show's over as well. When we come back, more from the Grove from last weekend. I'm telling you, these video